The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Relying on God's presence in difficult times.
And we know what it's like when God is right there in the center of those heartaches, of those struggles, of those times when you can't get your breath. You feel like God's right there. That's what we want you to know and to experience if you haven't. He is there. He will always be there for you.
Next on Life Today.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Today. I know you're going to be blessed as James walks you through God's Word, His truth in love. So please stay with us and be blessed.
Well, it's a thrill to always come into your home, wherever you are. I know, you know, Betty, I want to talk about some of the last days. And I'm so sorry that last days teaching is like, it's just like everything's going to be so bad. And I mean, the enemy's just taking over. And you just got to come get us. He never said the enemy has to be walking over all of us when he comes back. He never said all of us are to be trampled ground, defeated, and locked up in prisons or some monastery somewhere. He said we're supposed to be a fruitful garden. I'm telling you, we can be overcomers in the last days. His church can look like him because he says he's coming back for a bride that's dressed up in him, that looks like him. He's not a defeated Lord, King, Savior, groom coming. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He makes us more than conquerors and overcomers. Believe it. In the midst of the battle, in the midst of the storm, there's not only peace in every valley, but in every storm. Betty, I was going to go to these last days admonitions. And Paul, who wrote them in writing to Timothy, who is at Ephesus, he's really in a battle. All hell's breaking loose around him. And these New Testament Christians, they were told they were going to go soon. They were going to actually die like Jesus did. But he didn't tell us all that's how we're going to die. He says we're supposed to be willing to. We lay our life down for him. We're willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. If it costs us our life, we're going to live forever. Hey, by the way, don't wait to get eternal life. You have eternal life. Start living it now. Don't wait until you die to start living the life that's in you. Well, anyway, I'm going to read here in 2 Timothy. And remember now, in what many people call last days, certainly their last days, and he's talking about last days, but he's talking about what we do in any time of last days conflict, whether it's your last days to live or whether it is the ultimate last days. What do we do as Christians? And Betty, I had my Bible marked. I just thought this is pretty amazing. And I had this paper clip, but over on this other side, all this yellow print over here, and I got to read, and I thought, well, all our viewers need to hear this. I know I've read it to you before. I felt like I ought to read it again. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you've revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity. You had concern for me, and you had it, but you didn't have an opportunity to do anything about it. Now you do. And then he said, well, let me clarify something. Not that I speak from want, because I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to get along in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and of suffering need. I'm still okay. I got peace inside me. The Prince of Peace lives in me. The King of Kings lives in me. I'm okay. So I'm not talking about taking advantage of an opportunity to do something for me because I'm okay, but I'm rejoicing, and I want you to know why I am. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, get this, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my challenge, my affliction. You yourselves know, Philippians, where the Philippian jailer was, where they set a demoniac free, and it cost the wicked people a lot of money, and they hated them, and they locked them in prison and put them in stocks, but they couldn't hold them because God sets us free. He set them free throughout the New Testament. When they were walking in the power of the Spirit, He'd keep us free. He didn't intend us to be locked in bonds and stocks. Threw the prison doors open, transformed the prison guard, and then all of his family. Philippi, the Philippian Christians, born again by the power of God, they are communicating with him in his challenge time. You yourselves know, Philippians, that the first preaching of the gospel after I departed from Philippi, Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of receiving and giving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once to my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. You're being sensitive to God. You take advantage of an opportunity to reach out with love and meet a challenge. Wow. I'm not seeking the gift, but the profit which increases to your account for the blessing that comes to you. I have received everything in full, and I have abundance, and I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Now listen to this. And my God, Betty, our God, my God shall supply all of your needs, all of your needs, all of your needs, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, that's a promise to people who reach out and touch others with your love. Thank you for it. I'm going to show you some things that God says to people in last days. Listen to what he's saying to Timothy. This is the first chapter. I mean, the first Timothy, the first letter, the sixth chapter and the 17th verse. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. No matter how certain they look, you don't trust that. You trust God, and you trust God with your riches. You trust Him with everything. You don't trust stuff. You don't trust money. You don't trust the government. You don't trust Caesar. You don't trust the federal government ever. You trust God. Don't fix your hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Storing up, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is life indeed. That's what we do. Those of you who support kingdom purpose, his kingdom purpose, you've lost your life in his kingdom purpose. You live to fulfill his kingdom purpose, to make a kingdom impact on planet Earth. And Betty, every single person can make an impact. What people don't realize a lot of times is many who are helping, they're not highly visible in their own churches or their community. But in the kingdom of God, they're really very visible because they notice the unnoticed, the least of these, and they reach out and put God's loving arms around the people that thought nobody cared. They're amazing, aren't they?
They really are. You truly are amazing. And I think, James, it's because they're not going after things, but they're going after the heart of God and what God wants. They know, you know, that God's love is higher and deeper and everlasting. And you know that you felt that love from God. So that's why you can pass that love on to others. That's where God wants us to be at times when, James, right now we've had a lot of challenges in our nation with the virus and with different things going on, wars and rumors of wars and all of this. It's always going to be there. But what are we as Christians, what can we do? We can lift him up high. We can be that light in the darkness. We can be that one that can put the arms around those that are hurting, those that are lost, those that have lost their way. We can be there because of who is in us, the one that sent his son, that we might have eternal life, that will be with us in those times when everything seems to be going wrong. We know, you may say, look at us, and you say, oh, you've been so blessed. Oh, have we been blessed. But we've been through some trying times, too. And we know what it's like when God is right there in the center of those heartaches, of those struggles, of those times when you can't get your breath, you feel like God's right there. That's what we want you to know and to experience if you haven't. He is there. He will always be there for you.
You know, I've said to you many times, we do want our prayers answered, but you can be the answer to somebody's prayer.
That's right.
You can provide the miracle. I want to ask God to answer your prayer right now, whatever it is, whatever the concern is, whatever the challenge. Father, there are precious men, precious women, precious couples, young people, some people way up in years. They hurt. They may be lonely. They may have lost a loved one recently. They may be fighting a disease. Would you please put your comforting arms around them? Would you touch them in the area of their need and hear their cry, their prayer? Would you provide a miraculous answer? In Jesus' name. You know, one of the things that viewers have told me, that when I've said we all want our prayers answered, but how about you asking God to make you an answer to somebody's prayer?
That's right.
Many people have said, boy, you have no idea what that did for me. Do you realize that when you help somebody that's hungry, you became an answer to a heart cry and a need? You likely became an answer to a mother's prayer. Every time you touch somebody with the love of God, you're likely an answer to somebody's prayer. Isn't it wonderful that we can live as an answer to prayer? When Paul was writing to Timothy about last days living, he said in the second chapter of 2 Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. Avoid worldly empty chatter. It will lead to further ungodliness, all this back and forth nonsense, just noise, chatter. Too much of that going on. Too much of it going on in media, in churches, in religious life, in political life, business life. It's just awful. It's a bunch of noise. Listen to this challenge. This is how we live right now. This is in these people's last days. This is how we live in any last days. Ours are the last days. If a man cleanses himself from these things, you will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. That's verse 21 in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Now flee youthful lusts. Many of our problems go back to our youth. Many holes in the hearts of all of us from things that happened when we were young. Bill Gothard called it basic youth conflicts. They can track you throughout your life like a stalking wolf. Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. That's the fullness of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. With those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Wow. Refuse foolish, ignorant speculations, opinions of men, knowing that they produce quarrels. Don't waste your time there. And the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, even opposition to truth. If perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. And don't miss this last phrase, this last verse. That they may come to their senses. That's what happened to the prodigal son in the pig pen of defeat and despair. They may come to their senses and escape what? The snare of the devil. The demonic grip of the deceiver. Having been held captive by the deceiver, by the devil, to do his will. Father, that's what we pray. For every person listening right now that's defeated in any area, it's a snare. It's a hook. They're caught. They're trapped. Break the yoke. Break that yoke. Satan, loose them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Get your hands off God's property. You cannot have that person's life. That woman that's crying out right now. That mother. That grandmother. That husband. That father. That couple. Satan, you can't have them for God's. And you just say to the enemy, Satan, you cannot have me. I'm a child of the King. And I will live my life for the King's kingdom purpose. Just say that, Father. Help us live suited up in Jesus as overcomers in these very challenging days. And let your life and love flow freely through us in Jesus' name. So glad you joined us. Many of these viewers here are your miracle workers. I'm praying right now that your prayers are answered. We're in agreement with you. You want somebody to pray with you, there's a prayer line right there. Do you realize that we're asking people to make that number right now a lifeline, but it's always a prayer line. And there'll be 5, 6, 7, 8 times as many people normally who will call for prayer as call to give the life of God. You feel free to call. But would you do something right now? Would you say, I want to be an answer to prayer. I want to be a miracle in somebody's life. We are saving lives because God's love is shared freely through us. As you watch and listen to Sheila and go back and see where we were when I first saw the horrors of what hunger does. And what love can do through people like you to be the miracle answer to prayer. Listen to Sheila. Above all, listen to God. And you become the miracle that is needed so desperately because you can be. That's why we're here.
I'm here and just what is a small part of a massive graveyard. I've never seen anything like this in my life. But this part that I'm standing in, these are all children. And the thing that has touched as a team so deeply is the way that the parents have tried to honor their children in some way by leaving something on the grave, whether it's just, you know, little booties. A little toy that meant something to the child. Some parents have literally, all they had was like an empty water bottle, but they just wanted to leave something to say, this is my child, and they were loved. And James, you'll remember being here. I mean, you were here, and you remember the impact this place had on you. What would horrify you is how it's grown.
Dear God, I'm in the midst of 1,000 children's graves. Most of them didn't have to die. They died like this little kid here that didn't have the nutrition. We're told that millions face death right now in Southern Africa, where I'm kneeling in the midst of children's graves.
We're on the edge of such an epidemic again. In fact, just behind me, they've dug 4 little fresh graves, and there's no children in them yet, but they're getting ready because they know they're coming. And that's why we're here, and that's why we need to do something now. We need to be able to go into these villages and feed these children and bring hope to these parents so that these 4 little holes back here stay empty. We need your help, and we need it now.
When I stood there nearly 30 years ago, all the graves were little children's. And I can remember kneeling, and there was a little jar and a little picture. Picture of a little baby in that grave. That was the only marker. And Betty, I know, that I said, we want to stop this. And I ask our viewers if they would stop it. And think about what I'm saying. We're being told by the people who keep the records in all these different African nations that we've saved 17 million little children's lives. And when I say we, boy, that's all of us. That's you. It's a miracle.
It truly is, you know. You never, even so, that's been a long time ago since, James, you were there on that site, but you never get over the heartache that you feel, the hurt you feel for the mother, the dad that's lost their little one that shouldn't have lost them only because they didn't have anything to feed, to give them for nourishment. You've been so faithful to help us through all these years, and you continue to. Let's do it again and again, as much as needed, for those little ones that need a chance in life, for those parents that love their children so much. Let's offer that hope to them. Let's offer the nourishment to these precious children. Join us again, won't you?
You weren't with me that first time I saw that graveyard because it was so dangerous to take. We had to descend to land in Luanda in a spiral like this to keep Stinger missiles from hitting the aircraft. That was commercial aircraft coming down, and that's where we were. It was so dangerous. But those little lives, they were just being taken. I said, God, please. You became the answer to that heart cry. It wasn't just the heart cry of James and Betty and the missionaries. It was the heart cry of mothers. Would you right now go and get your bank card or write a check and make it to Life? Would you help us save those precious children right now? We're feeding 350,000 a day. We can only do it with your help. $30, $50, $100 feeds 5 or 10 children for the next months. Please help us feed at least 10. If you could give $1,000 and help feed 100, would you please do it? God, touch their hearts. Would you do it? There's a level at which you can help. We have some beautiful gifts to send you to say thank you and to bless you and inspire you. But you are really giving the greatest gift you're giving life. I pray every single one of you will get that bank card, dial that number, or go online. Make the gift God puts on your heart. You really are giving life.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us.
Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. This urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christmas Grace. This eye-opening new 31-day devotional will give you a fresh perspective on the greatest gift ever given and the life-transforming hope found in Christ's birth. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Love and Thanks Tumblr set. With scriptures reminding us that God's love never fails and to always give thanks, these tumblers will keep drinks hot or cold wherever you go. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I'm thrilled beyond words to know that as you partner with Life Today to bring nutrition and hope to those who are in such desperate need, that you'll receive my newest devotional, Christmas Grace, as an expression of their profound thanks. I believe with all my heart that if you'll request this new devotional and follow it through the holiday season right up to the new year, you'll come away with new insights about the birth of the Savior and a deeper love for Him. Call or go online right now to share and request your copy today.
Well, when I say thank you, it's not just from us or the missionaries, because you are an answer to the missionaries' prayers, believe it. But it's a big thank you from a lot of moms, a lot of families, a lot of children that are going to grow up. They're going to grow up to have a wonderful life, because they're going to know it was Jesus through people like you that gave them life and gave them a future. Let's keep Him first. Let's live as overcomers in this time for His glory and His kingdom purpose. Thanks so much for watching.
God permits what He hates to always accomplish that which He loves.
Johnny Erickson Tada, tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.